live righteously.
Hey, it's me, Richie T. Let's talk about LDSBookstore.com. That's who brings us this episode of the Cultural Hall. You know, here's a great thing that you can do. Maybe you don't have any idea what to get someone for Christmas. Maybe you do a New Year's gift, or maybe just like birthdays or baptisms or mission and all that stuff. You just go to LDSBookstore.com, and they have some awesome featured products where you can just check it out. Like I'm looking right now at LDSBookstore.com. Missionary approved ties. Maybe you didn't even know that you had to have a missionary approved tie. You can do that. You can get T.C. Christensen's latest film, Ephraim's Rescue, for like 75% off. You can get Visions of Glory. I'm just reading what's popping up on the screen at LDSBookstore.com. They have things for preparedness, for you know, just your regular clothing, your totes and cases, your art and home, your scriptures, all that stuff. Go to LDSBookstore.com and enjoy this episode, this very special episode of The Cultural Hall. It's time for a very special episode of The Cultural Hall, visiting with some folks involved with the film The Resistance Movement. And welcome to The Cultural Hall, Nathan D. Lee, the producer of the film, and Catherine Moss, the writer and director. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thank you.
This was meant to be some months ago when I contacted, and it got lost in the shuffle. But here's the thing about me. I keep emails for forever as a constant reminder of guilt that I should have reached out to people. And as I was going through stuff, I was like, you know what? I really want to visit with these guys. And then recently you guys had some pretty awesome news about the movie. If one of you guys want to share what that is.
We did. We actually got invited to a very large international film festival and conference in Trento, Italy. And they had heard about our film and watched it and just loved it. So they actually contacted us and invited us to come out and share the film as part of their festival.
So is that already taken place or is that yet to take place?
It's already taken place. It was in October.
Okay.
In Italy.
And what's great about that festival is that it's the whole purpose of it is to promote dialogue between faiths. And this is the first time in its 16-year history that a Mormon film has been selected for the festival. And this year, it was the only film from the United States. So pretty special.
So you guys representing not only the country, but also the LDS faith. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, we've made this giant leap that everyone knows what the movie is about. So who wants to, maybe the writer and director should tell us a little bit about the film.
Sure. It's an amazing true story about three teenage boys in Nazi Germany, and they decided to start their very own resistance group, just the three of them. They were 15, 16, and 17 years old at the time, and they started listening to the BBC London and realizing that the Nazi government had been lying to them. And so they listened illegally late at night to the BBC London to gather the truth. And then they typed up what they heard into anti-Nazi leaflets and spread them all throughout Hamburg, just these three boys. And they get away with it for 6 months until they're caught.
So how did you find out about this story?
I first heard about this story from a friend of mine who had lived in Germany for a while. And he just thought it was an amazing story and knew me and knew that I would love it. And I did.
So where's your guys' background? Because you're the writer and director. You're the producer of the film. Is this the first project you guys have ever done? Or, you know, let's give me an idea where you guys come from.
Well, my background is almost exclusively in film. I did some live theater early on in my career.
Because everyone does, right?
Well, and I loved it, you know. I love theater. But I got into film, and film was really what I was going for. And I've been working... I mean, I've been working steadily in film for 7 years now.
So drop some other things that people might know or recognize that you've done.
Well, I started off crewing on larger movies.
Like what?
Like I did the High School Musical 3.
Oh, cool.
Did various things for the Disney Channel, Minutemen. I did a movie with Warner Brothers called Unaccompanied Minors.
Okay.
Did Forever Strong. I think a lot of LDS people know that movie.
Sure.
So I've done a variety of big studio movies, small indie movies, and then it's really been in the last 3 or 4 years that I've been directing my own and then also starting to produce independent films as well.
Okay. So what about for you then, Catherine?
The opposite. My background is almost exclusively in theater.
Okay.
So I've been directing theater for, probably about 15 years now, and so my degree is in directing for theater. I have a master's degree in directing for theater from the University of London.
Wow.
And so that...
Just get a load of this over here, huh?
Yeah, I've been mostly doing theater, so this is actually our first project together. We've both been quite busy, you know, doing things on our own, but this is our first big project together, and it was awesome.
And it's worth mentioning, too, for listeners who don't know this, but we are brother and sister.
Oh, really?
So, yes. So that is... sometimes we just assume people know that, but yeah, so we... grew up together and both had our separate loves of film and theater, and we've done some theater together, and now we've done some film together.
So, wait, which one of you is older then?
I am.
You are, okay. Yeah. So do you get to play the boss then? Because, oh, the older sister's always telling me what to do.
Well, believe it or not, the producer is the boss.
Yeah, and he was my boss.
Most people don't know that, but the director is not, the director is the creative boss.
Sure.
The producer is the boss. But sure. But in reality... We kind of co-produced it in many respects, and we were both kind of overseeing it and did a lot of that together.
Were there ever any, like, noogies on set, though, or anything like that, where you're like, come here.
Not in front of the crew.
No, but he did kind of, when I was growing up, I went by Katie, and so my family still calls me Katie.
Uh-huh.
And so I did have to get after him a couple times for accidentally calling me Katie on set.
It's very hard. I can't call her Catherine. It's very...
But he made a valiant effort. He did a really good job.
And my brother is the same way. He went by Jeff all the way growing up, and then one day he was like, I'm Jeffrey. And it's like, no, you're not Jeff. It's like, I am Jeffrey. Okay, whatever, Jeff. So you hear this great story. You think it's an amazing thing. But there certainly is a great deal of steps that go from what a cool story to, man, what a great movie that's being shared internationally at festivals. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, when I first heard the story, my initial thought was, wow, this would make a great play. Somebody should write it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't at all thinking that it would be me or that it should be me, because I have a lot of background in directing, but not in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, honestly, that just wasn't even a thought that came to me. But then I was going through a really difficult time in my life, and I was struggling with depression and various things, and I really needed a creative outlet. I really needed something to kind of help me to get out of that. And
kind of a funk?
More than that, but okay. I mean, it was a definite, I mean, I had postpartum depression and things with a new baby, and she had some medical problems, and life really
hard. So more than a funk, for
more
sure.
More than a funk, for sure. But that's one of the things that I wanted to try and do to kind of help myself. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to write this just for myself, you know, mm-hmm. just to help myself. Have something creative to really look forward to and to work on. And so, yeah, I just, this story had still been fresh in my mind because I'd only heard it a few months before. And I thought, well, why not? I mean, again, just thinking, oh, this is just for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I was writing it, I felt so much inspiration as I was writing it and so many miracles and these little things happening that I started to realize, you know, I don't think this is just for me.
Right.
You know, I think that this, and obviously I'd loved the story and I just started to think, you know, I think there's a larger purpose in this. And so when I finished writing it, I just gathered together some friends, you know, some actor friends, some other friends who hadn't really acted, and we put on a production of it. You know, we did a staged reading of it. And it went so well. I mean, people were so moved and mm-hmm. so touched. And I thought, wow, okay, well, we need to continue to work on this and bring this to more people. So then when I was in Washington at that time, and then when I moved to Utah, we put on another production of it here. And, you know, each time kind of refining and...
Mm-hmm.
And
change things.
Yeah, changing things a little bit and really refining and strengthening the script. And after we did the production here, I mean, it was the same response. Every time we do it, people were so moved. And Nathan was involved in that production as well. He was acting in it. And we both just really wanted a way to share it with more people. Mm-hmm. And film is a great way to do that. So that's kind of how that idea got started.
So you said, hey, little brother. I know you like films, little brother.
She actually... originally, she just sent me, it was a completed draft, but it was one of the, or it may have been the first draft of mm-hmm. of the stage play that she wrote, just for feedback, just, you know.
Hey, putting this together, tell me what you think about that.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, I've read a lot of first drafts, and it's pretty classic for, you know, for a first draft to be just kind of a, just get it out there on the page and now we rewrite. But just reading the first draft alone, I was really moved. I found myself tearing up reading just the first draft, and I felt its power early on. And so I got excited and wanted to be a part of it in any iteration that it came in. And so that's why I helped, with the stage readings and the play itself. And then from that point, we actually decided to shoot kind of what we call a play trailer, where we got some actors together on a stage. And we were just going to shoot kind of like a movie trailer, but just on a stage, for the purpose of advertising it so other people could say, hey, I want to put that play on.
Oh, cool.
And then, so we got some actors together and we're shooting that. And it was in that experience, as I was cutting that together, I was like, wow, you know, this play's really good on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the style we were shooting it, the emotion, the impact really was pulling through. And so both of us kind of realized, wow, this could do really well on screen. And that was kind of the germ of the idea that started us, to say, hey, you know what, we can reach more people as a film. And that's kind of where it grew from.
So these three kids in Germany, let's talk about them for a minute. I'm assuming, based on kind of the LDS discussion, that they were LDS folk in Germany?
They were LDS. It is important to note, though, that the film is completely non-denominational, so it doesn't make a deal about them being
There's no,
Mormon.
Like, winky nods to the LDS faith,
no,
where it's like,
absolutely,
oh, the blue
none.
Book. You know.
Absolutely none. And the cast was non-denominational as well. I mean, so the whole effort, I've just felt it, they were Mormon, but I feel like it's not an exclusively Mormon story.
Okay.
You know, I feel like it's a story for everybody.
Yeah, any Christian or even
anybody.
Believing person to be like.
Honestly, when we were in Italy, I mean, it was striking deep chords with non-Christians, with, with Islamic, people of the Islamic faith and Buddhists and all of these things, because it's about faith in a higher power at its core. Mm-hmm. And regardless of whether you're Christian or not, that's something central to religion in the world. And so it's played really well, and I think connects with people of all faiths.
So a little bit more about their story then. So they, like you had mentioned, they're listening to the BBC. They're finding, oh my gosh, we're, you know, being lied to. It's propagandized. And then they go out. Are they able to kind of, we don't need to spoil anything. although it's history, so people can go and find out. Because apparently Hitler dies in the end. So sorry. Yeah, sorry, everyone. I mean, is it something that they get other people to kind of join in, or?
You know what? They don't. It's actually really just the three of them mostly. And I think historically there were a couple other friends that would kind of, you know, read their flyers or maybe do a little bit or come listen to the radio sometimes. But really it was the three of them that ran the whole thing together. And it was kind of Helmut. He was the 16-year-old, the middle. And he was the one that this whole thing was kind of his idea.
Okay.
And he was kind of the driving force behind it. And he did want to branch out at one point to prisoners of war and get their flyers translated into French and other languages to reach more people. But that didn't actually.
So they get caught at 6 months. Mm-hmm. Can we talk a little bit more about it, or am I encroaching on spoiler territory here?
No, I think, I mean, you know, anyone can kind of Google and find out what happened. But I think, you know, the film really focuses on Rudy, the youngest of the three boys.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of the film, he's very excited. He really wants to make a difference, and he really believes that they can. And he has this belief that because they're doing something good, that God will protect them.
Sure.
You know, it's like, well, we're doing good things, and so it's going to work out, and God's going to protect us. And so then when they end up getting caught, it really tests his faith. Mm. And he has to really, I mean, you know, he kind of goes through this period of really questioning, and he really has to find out where true strength and courage come from.
Where do you get most of your research from? Is it journals or news stories or...
All over. two of the boys wrote books. Carl and Rudy both wrote books. And there's also, you know, and there's several books that have been written about them. And also, Rudy came and did an oral history that I drew a lot from, gave firesides that we, you know, that I have recorded. And Carl also, they both spoke about it a lot in later years here in Utah. And so, yeah, there's lots of testimonies and oral histories and books and things like that as far as for the boys themselves. And then just general research, obviously, on the period.
Are they still around? Is Rudy still alive or?
They're not. Rudy, Rudy died in 1992.
Okay.
From cancer, and Carl just passed away in 2010.
Hmm.
So
very much is their story now to be shared, you know, kind of posthumously and
and
celebrated.
Their families, you know, their families are around still, and it's been exciting to have them be a part of this movie as well. They've been, you know, to several of the screenings and have been able to talk back to audiences and things like that. And honestly, it was one of the greatest compliments when Rudy's family saw it for the first time. It was at our premiere. And you know, several of them came up to us, but one in particular came up and, you know, was tearful and thanked us for bringing back her dad. I felt that we felt that the film had captured it enough of his personality and just the core of what he was about. And several things, honestly, that we didn't know. We didn't know that he was struggling with, that the movie still was able to capture. So it was really cool to have not just the support of the families, but the belief that from their view that we were able to capture
their
dads.
Yeah, and that's one of the, you know, I talked about miracles and things, and yeah, there were things like that I thought I was making up because it wasn't in the research, you know, it wasn't. And then it was only in talking to the families afterwards. I mean, after it had been written and filmed and realizing that that's actually the way things were.
So when you say inspired, do you mean, given the nature of this discussion and where we're sharing it, I mean, are we talking like Holy Ghost, like the Spirit you feel like was the very driving force?
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes I believe that creative inspiration is from the Spirit anyway, you know, but in this case, I mean, it was huge and it was undeniable. I mean, it was really that Spirit. I remember several times, and you know, I prayed about it a lot as I was writing it too, especially as I started to realize that this could have an impact. And you know, I wanted to treat it right, and I wanted to write it in a way that it would carry the Spirit with it. And so I was very prayerful about that as I was writing. And I remember, you know, one time I was trying to work through one of the problems in the script, and I didn't know what to do, and I was praying about it, and I didn't know what to do, and so I went to bed, and then I remember this idea just popped into my mind, and I thought, oh my gosh. And so I sat up and turned on my light and wrote it down, and then turned off my light and laid back down. And like 5 minutes later, this other idea popped in my head. Oh my gosh. So I turn on the light again, sit up, you know, write it down. And that happened like 4 or 5 times in a row.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and so, yeah, or even just in church or whatever. I mean, these ideas would come to me. And you know, finally, I remember the very night that I finished writing the first draft, and I was up alone. It was late at night, and I was just kind of scrolling through. And at one point in the play, Rudy, you know, they say what Rudy's birthday is, and it's February 11th. And I realized that it was February 11th, the day that I had finished writing it. And that was just a little moment for me. I know some people would say that's coincidence, but I just knew that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of the first instance to me where I really felt that Rudy was aware of it, that Heavenly Father was aware of it, and that Rudy was aware of it too.
And so, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and since that experience and since the film's completed, there have also been family members that have felt that and felt that that Rudy is happy, that he's pleased with the finished film.
Oh, that's cool. Where can people see this? It's been out for a while now. Where can people get it or see it?
It's available on DVD right now. It's available on Amazon.com.
Okay, I've heard of that. Amazon.com.
Yeah, it's on that World Wide Web thing. So that's the best way to get it nationwide. It's also available at Siegel Book and Deseret Book.
Can you get it? Is it on an iTunes? Can I buy it there?
It's not right now. No, okay. There's plans for that and to stream it on Netflix in the future. But at this point, it's just DVD.
For right now, it's the hard copy, the DVDs.
Correct.
And what's it? It's probably $20, something like that.
It kind of depends where you get it and when.
Oh, tell me where to get it then.
The best place price wise is going to be Siegel Book. They usually have it for about $16.99.
Oh, that's great.
List price is $19.99, and that's usually what Deseret has it for. Though they've had some sales on it recently as well.
The General Conference Blockbuster Sale. Come on, that kind of thing.
And the DVD also, though, a bonus of buying the DVD is it also includes a documentary that we made about the true story and about the making of the film. It aired on KSL in April last
between conference sessions,
it
right?
It did, yeah. Yeah, and so that's actually on the DVD as well, so you get the bonus. Yeah.
That has interviews with the surviving family members, mm-hmm. Rudy's daughters and things like that.
Oh, that's great. Any new projects coming up? You guys got something coming up that you want to tease me with?
Gosh, I am working on a whole slew of things. The biggest one I think that I think is the most important, though, to many people. I find I mention this and people like start to shut down. It's like, oh, that's really neat. But I'm actually producing a documentary on pornography in the Christian church and really just trying to open up the conversations about it, making it not so taboo a subject so people don't feel that they have to hide it and be afraid of it, but we can talk about the problem openly and heal openly. So,
any idea when we'll see that?
The name of it, it's called The Heart of the Matter, and we're still doing some fundraising for it. We've raised some funds. We've shot a whole slew of interviews, and we're trying to raise a little bit more. So,
okay. Can people, if they're listening and want to help out with that, where do they go?
They can't. They can definitely help.
Come on, take advantage. I'm trying to help you here.
Absolutely. We just don't have our website totally set up right now. That's the problem.
Oh, Nathan.
The best way to give is to contact us through our Facebook page.
Okay.
Which if you just search on Facebook, The Heart of the Matter, you'll see that. You'll be able to contact us, and we have a PayPal account set up where you can give.
Cool. What about for you, Catherine?
I'm writing again, writing another screenplay at the moment. And then I'm also directing for the Utah Children's Theater.
Oh, cool.
Currently. So my next
like
project
that?
There is Lily's Purple Plastic Purse in the spring.
Yes. So. Say that seven times fast.
So very different from Resistance Movement, but a lot of fun.
Oh, it is? It's different?
Yeah, just a little.
Well, the name of the film is The Resistance Movement. You can get it at Amazon.com, Deseret Book, Siegel Book and Tape. Only it's not end tape anymore because no one has tapes anymore, but for whatever reason.
If you really want a VHS tape of the movie, we can get that for you.
Well, really? I'll take it.
I'll just dub it at home.
Is there a website for the film?
Yeah, resistancemovementmovie.com.
And you guys have a Facebook page, right?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/resistancemovementmovie.
It's if we're doing signings or sales or things like that. So.
And that's just facebook.com/resistancemovement. Cool. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Hey, thank you.
We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week.
That's right.
And that you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving
us for the moisture that we receive.
We got to add that one in. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really got to go on the Cultural Hall show.